Well, I've been looking forward to this for a while. We have the opportunity here to speak with some folks who are part of the ministry Walk Through the Bible, and both in the U.S. and in Canada, actually. We're going to have a privilege today here on NBL to speak with Michael Gunnan. He's Executive Vice President at Walk Through the Bible, stationed, I think, in Atlanta, Georgia, and Sarah Burton of Walk Through the Bible Canada. She's the Director of Walk Through the Bible Canada and lives in Brampton, Ontario, actually part of our listening area. So grateful to have both of you with us. I'm looking forward to talking about Bible engagement and why it matters, you know, in terms of the quality of life within God's kingdom and what, you know, the effectiveness, I think, in reaching the lost for Christ. But welcome to both of you. And we'll talk to Sarah in just a minute. Michael, I've not had the privilege of meeting you yet, but I'm grateful that you've agreed to come on the program and help us understand the reality of Bible engagement. So welcome. And tell us a little bit about your own background here.
Yeah, thanks so much, Neil. So honored to be a guest on the program today, along with Sarah. I serve with Walk Through the Bible. I've been a part of the team for just over 11 years now. Serve as our executive vice president and lead our programs and strategy. Excited to be here.
There are literally thousands that have, I'm sure, in our listening audience that have participated in a Walk Through the Bible event, or at least know something about the ministry, but could you give us the official description when somebody says Walk Through the Bible? What is that? How do you describe it?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that maybe had an experience decades ago, but don't even know that Walk Through the Bible is still in ministry and still active today. We were started in 1976, so we're celebrating our 50th anniversary this year, which is pretty exciting as a ministry. Began really with a simple mission to help people to engage in God's word. That's still what drives us today. We believe at the very core of who we are is that the Bible changes everything, that if we can help people to engage with the scriptures in a meaningful and significant way, it's going to change their life. It will change families. It will change churches. It will change communities. It will change the world. And so we are committed to that calling to help people to live out God's word, to have an experience with God's word. We do that through events. We do that through resources. God has opened up opportunities for us to serve around the world. We do ministry in about 140, 141 countries a year. So large global footprint. But the mission is the same in every one of those countries, to help people to experience God through his word, because we know that when that happens, life change will happen as a result.
All right. And we're going to meet Sarah in a second, but you mentioned Bible engagement. That's kind of the focus of our conversation today, because just reading the Bible is one. And this, actually, I'm thinking of going back to elementary school when they graded you on reading comprehension. You know, they'd say, okay, read this paragraph. And I would just plow through it, like, you know, just read it, man. And then they'd say, what was it about? It'd be like, well, not really sure. But this even goes beyond, I think, just comprehension, right? I mean, when you say Bible engagement, what are you talking about? And we're going to discuss a study that was done, but what does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, we would love for people just to begin to read the Bible, because there's so many people who just aren't even reading the Bible at all. Or there are some that are just maybe skimming, you know, a few verses here, or just reading a verse at a time, but not really getting lost in the story of Scripture. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about the Bible itself, the Bible was written as a book to be read. And so often our experience with the Bible is you know, reading a verse here, reading a verse there. And we're not reading and truly engaging in the Scripture. When we talk about Bible engagement, we're talking about, yes, reading the Bible, but we're talking about reading it in a way that we are allowing its message to impact our life, to shape us and to change us into the way that God's word desires to do in our own life.
All right. And I know that Walk Through the Bible exists to help facilitate that process. Sarah Burton is somebody that I actually have interviewed before here on NBL, but I didn't make that connection when I ran into her. I was having dinner with a friend. She was present at the dinner and said, "You've interviewed me before on the radio," and I felt really bad that I didn't remember. But, you know, I'm working on it. I'm trying to do better. And Sarah, you're the director of Walk Through the Bible Canada, so obviously this is something Canadians care about as much as people here in the U.S.
Absolutely. I mean, the truth is still the truth. The engaging of the Bible is going to work on the north side of the border and the south side of the border and all of the whole world. And so we're just so excited to introduce and get people excited to be actually in the Word. And it really does change people. And I see that on a regular basis in my circle of friends and the Bible studies I'm involved in. And so I just want that to be something that is more prevalent in Canada.
Yeah, now I was at a Walk Through the Bible event 9 million years ago, okay? And
Wow.
then I think the following year the dinosaurs went extinct and whatever. But I just remember it being highly engaging and interactive, but it's been a long time. And I'm just wondering, Sarah, if you could comment. When you say Bible engagement, what are you thinking in the back of your mind? Because you just talked about Bible study, and I've been a part of many Bible studies. I think our listeners have. Sit around in a circle, discuss the scripture. How does it apply to you? What was our pastor talking about on Sunday? But how do you engage with the Bible in a setting like that, as opposed to what you're doing in a seminar format with Walk Through the Bible?
Absolutely. I think the seminar format, our live events are so special because we can see the overarching storyline of the Bible in a way that connects the dots. Often we're getting so detailed in a Bible study, you kind of get lost in the sauce maybe from the overarching story. And when we put the event together, we're not only learning by storytelling, but we're connecting those stories together so that when we end up in a Bible study, we're like, oh, I understand how Ruth connects to the grand story as we go. And, if we think about somebody recommends for you to watch a show, we're not going to say, okay, so the best place to start is episode 3, forward 20 minutes in. And no. And then right away you want to go to the 17th episode and you just go right to the end. And I think unfortunately we sometimes lose that overarching story in our Bible engagement. And so when we reset that for people, it creates this map that is life-changing and it really draws in so that the storyline keeps ministering to the hearts of people because God's word is alive.
Before we go on, let me just say parenthetically, Mary and I like watching a series or two on television, and sometimes we sit down just to unwind a little bit and we'll engage in these series. But I was thinking just the other day, funny you mentioned that, but I was thinking, good Lord, if somebody turned this thing on and it went into season 2, episode 6 or something, you would not know all of the background about these individual characters or why what that guy just said really matters based on what we know about the person he said it to. You would be lost. There's no way to start there and have it make sense. So I think anybody listening could sort of relate to that and say, man, if I could read the Bible and when I'm reading something, know how it's connected to the rest of Scripture and the overarching story of redemption and so forth, that would be really powerful. But Michael, apparently you guys commissioned a study that was done that took a look at pretty much Christians in North America because this involved U.S., Canada, and I don't know exactly the extent, but you were looking at a whole bunch of people and their habits when it comes to reading or engaging in Scripture. And I think the statistics were astounding, to say the least. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I was looking at some things and my eyeballs were popping out of my head. So I wonder if you wouldn't mind taking a moment to give us a taste of what you learned through that survey or study.
Yeah, so we well, there's been let me back up a little bit before what Walkthrough has done. Over the past 20 or 30 years, there's been quite a bit of research that's been done by some wonderful organizations, Center for Bible Engagement and Barna and Pew Charitable Trust, really tracking individual behavior with the Bible, reading patterns around the Bible. And so there's a lot of research that's out there over the past couple of decades around Bible engagement and Bible reading in general. One of the things that we at Walk Through the Bible began to be really interested in, especially because we work so closely with local churches, is there something that the local church can do that will influence Bible engagement of the parishioners in that local church? And so that was really the question that we began to ask. So it wasn't as much around just general behavior around Bible engagement, though we did ask some questions around that. It was really a question around how can the local church most positively increase the likelihood that someone in that church is going to be engaged mm-hmm. in reading God's word. So that was really the focus of our study. The reality, though, Neil, is Bible reading generally, as in North America especially, in the U.S., and I think the stats are true for Canada, is just not very good. And when you look at the stats, you see these trends that are alarming. Mm-hmm. You read these stats. I think it was in the Pew Charitable Study, Religious Landscape Study that they did, that only about a third of Christians read the Bible at least once a week. And so you think about that as a Christian who, if only a third of Christians are reading the Bible once a week, that's alarming.
Okay, wait, let me stop you on
that. If what we believe about the Bible is true, we need to be in God's word a lot more than that.
Yeah, and I want to make sure I'm wrapping my brain around what you're saying, because somebody might say, well, then that must mean the other two-thirds are even more engaged. I think what you're saying, if I'm not missing it here, the other two-thirds aren't engaged at all. And only
that's exactly right.
Okay, and of the one-third.
About a third would say they read the Bible once a week. And I think it's 45-46% of Christians in that same study said, we don't read the Bible hardly at all. Mm-hmm. So it's not that the majority are reading more than once a week. No, it's the reality is that many Christians aren't reading the Bible at all.
Wow. I think probably that's not hard for people to believe, because some of the people that are hearing that are some of the ones that are very unengaged with Scripture.
Sure.
So it's not shocking to them. But I'm wondering, on that stat, for instance, is there any indication as to why that's the case? Are some saying, well, yeah, but I engage with a Bible podcast where they highlight a scripture every day, and so I'm, getting the Word of God that way. Or I listen to WDCX radio incessantly. I'm being fed the Word of God every single day, so I'm not sitting down and reading it. But I think there's a difference there.
Yeah, there certainly is. There's a number of reasons that sort of move to the top of the list in terms of why people aren't engaging with the Bible. I think priorities mm-hmm. is obviously one of those. Just making a commitment and making it a priority to be in God's Word. But one of the ones that we find frequently is there's a lot of confusion that people have when they come to the Bible. They feel overwhelmed by the Bible. I mean, it's a big book. Mm-hmm. It was written thousands of years ago. Some of it is very unfamiliar when we pick up its pages and we start to read it. And so I think people get confused by it, or they get overwhelmed by it. And because of that, they just set it aside. In fact, in the research that we did, we asked the question, if you struggle reading the Bible, what's the reason that you struggle? And here's what was interesting, Neil. 60.7% of people who told us that they had a challenge reading the Bible, 60% said it was because they felt overwhelmed by it, or simply they just didn't know where to start.
Hmm.
So think about that. 60% said, I want to read it, but I don't know where to begin. Mm-hmm. I get overwhelmed by it. It's just too much. Which is why we're so passionate about what we do at Walk Through the Bible, helping people see that big storyline of the Bible and giving them some tools and resources to helping them get started. That's why we're so passionate about it. I think there's a lot of people who want to read the Bible, but just they need a guide. They need some help to get started. And that's what we want to come alongside.
Yeah. Sarah, that's what the stats say. What are you hearing on the street, right, as you engage with people north of the border? Is it any different in Canada, or does this sound about right?
No, I think it's worse in Canada. And it's unfortunate, because there's so many voices, so many different things. And I believe that people are really just lost in terms of where to start, like Michael said. And also, we don't have connections in our community like we used to. So the community is lost. People are moving more frequently. We have struggles where our neighborhoods are not people we hang out with because we're transient. We're living here in Brampton, working in Scarborough, and it's quite difficult to because then you're spending 2 hours of your day and travel. So there's lots of reasons, but that doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. It's just that if we can light up the motivation, then that can help us. If we can introduce community back into people's lives, it makes a difference. So I have a Bible study in my home, and I was so encouraged. We got to celebrate a baptism of one of our members this past week. And for them to say, "This is the highlight of my week." Well, that didn't happen overnight. That took time to build. That took community, that took commitment. And so it's difficult to put that as a priority. But when we have love in the house, when we care for one another, it really locks in the motivation. And then life ha change happens when we are in the Word together like that. So it's good news and bad news all at the same time. And we just need to keep encouraging one another. So many times it's like you can have a spurt of energy and then give up. It's like working on your fitness. What's interesting, I used to be in the fitness industry for a long time, in a specific gym. I'm still in the fitness industry, but as well. But the people that worked in the gym were also not working out. The majority was not working out, and that seems shocking. But it was true, and we had studies that said that. And it was like, so are we experiencing the same kind of issues? People in church are not in the Word the same way. It's important that we're in the Word directly, not just because somebody is speaking it to us, but that we are receiving it. And so those are our really kind of some pervasive, just natural tendencies that I think. And so we want to just do everything we can to help encourage people, be in community, be in the Word, and let God change your life.
Yeah, it really is an amazing connection when you say gym memberships that people aren't using, right? Or the odd reality that when you go to the gym, the most fit people are not actually working out. They're just standing in front of the mirror and you wonder, maybe that's what I need to do. Yeah. But no, I mean, we can see that. If we have a gym membership and we're not using it, how is that any different? And of course, there's eternal implications with regard to the Word of God, that we have the living Word of God, authored by God Himself, and we're not always engaging with it. That's pretty shocking. There are a number of other stats we obviously are going to touch on, but let's go back to this concept real quick before we take our break, that today's conversation is designed to help you understand that Walk Through the Bible is committed to helping you as an individual, but especially churches, to train and teach their people to engage with God's word, right? Not just read it out of force of habit or because you're being coerced into it, but that you're getting something out of it because you're truly engaging with the overall story of the Word of God. So, Michael, let me ask you if you could just reiterate that fact for us before we go to break. That's ultimately what we're trying to communicate today. There is help available to get people engaged in God's word, and that way, that's what you guys have been working on.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's Neil, there's actually some reasons to be encouraged. If you look at some of the Bible research that's out there, 2025 data is actually a little bit encouraging. And there seems to be a greater interest in the Bible right now than there has been in previous years. And Bible sales are setting records in terms of number of Bibles sold. There's this little window of opportunity where people seem to be more interested in the Bible than they have been in previous years. And this is an opportunity for organizations like Walk Through the Bible, and especially the local church, to say, how do we help people? If there's a little bit of interest, how do we help people take that next step to go deeper in their journey with God's word?
Okay, it's huge. All right, we're going to want to encourage any of you who are listening to connect with Walk Through the Bible, and I'm going to ask Sarah to share the Canadian address, but I can tell you that Walk Through the Bible US, I believe, is walkthrough.org. Is that correct?
That's right.
All right, and through
That's
is spelled
right.
THRU, the easy way, walkthrough.org for Walk Through the Bible US. And in Canada, you better get out your notepad.
It's really long, but trust me, it's worth it. Canada's walkthroughthebible.ca. We're going to spell through the same way as our southern friends, but www.canadaswalkthroughthebible.ca.
Okay, canadaswalkthroughthebible.ca. No apostrophe in Canada,
no.
Right? Okay, canadaswalkthroughthebible.ca. More to come in just a moment. Sarah Burton is the executive director. She's the director of Walk Through the Bible Canada. And Michael Gunnan is executive vice president of Walk Through the Bible on the U.S. side. And we're going to continue the conversation here talking about Bible engagement. The stat he showed earlier was just incredible. Privileged to have Michael Gunnan with us, executive vice president for Walk Through the Bible U.S. side, I guess. And Sarah Burton, who's the director of Walk Through the Bible Canada. Some of you obviously listening have been to a Walk Through the Bible event, and we are going to talk about some of those things. But today, sort of focused on some stats that are eye-popping. Like, they just absolutely are astounding. And they have to do with the lack of, first of all, reading time or time spent reading the Bible, but secondarily, how engaged people are with the reading. And so I know you have some other stats to share. I don't know what else we can focus on here, Michael, but I'm just going to kind of throw that to you, because we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, Neil, do you want to jump into some of the research that we've been doing around how churches can begin to engage in Scripture?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So we had this question around how can a local church best equip and prepare people to engage in God's Word? And so we sent a survey, online survey, to a pretty broad distribution list. Several thousand people responded. And we asked people about their behavior with the Bible. How often do they read the Bible? What do they think about the Bible? So a lot of the questions about themselves. And then we asked them questions about their local church. And some of those questions were sort of factual. Some of those questions were opinion-based. What do you think about this and about their church? And we compiled all of that research and data together and really tried to paint a picture of some things that a local church can be doing to help their people to best engage in Scripture. One of the things that was most surprising to us, Neil, is we just assumed maybe that there, or hypothesized, if you will, that there would be some factors about the local church that would influence whether or not someone was going to be highly engaged in the Bible. So depending on your particular preference or background, you might say, well, if you go to a big church, you'll be less likely to be engaged in a small church, or more traditionally minded church than a more modern church. And here's what we found. Any of these sort of different styles or size demographics about a church had no influence on whether or not someone was going to be highly or lowly engaged in the Bible. It made no difference.
Wow.
So we found that those who were highly engaged in the Bible, they went to all different sizes of churches and styles of churches, and it made no difference whatsoever. But here's what was so interesting to us in the research, Neil. When we began to look at what did make a difference, whether someone was more likely to be engaged in the Bible or not, there were a couple of things that stood out. One of those was whether or not that person believed their church encouraged them to read the Bible.
Really?
It was that simple. Now, what? That's not surprising. It's not, you're like, well, that's a deep insight right there. You're like, no, of course, that seems so obvious. But the reality is that a lot of people, as we ask them, hey, how well does your church encourage you to read the Bible? You know what they told us? Not very well.
Mm.
We're not really being encouraged by our local church to read the Bible. But when a local church does that, the likelihood of reading the Bible, engaging in the Bible, goes up significantly. It's a simple lesson for, I think, pastors and church leaders. Are you encouraging people to read the Bible consistently?
Yeah. I'm also thinking about the pastor of a relatively small congregation. They don't have a huge budget, you know, for fancy lighting or smoke machines during worship. And they don't have a Starbucks in their lobby, right? So it's just like a little country church on the edge of town. But encouraging people to read the Bible causes the numbers to go up on people reading the Bible. I mean, that Sarah, am I, does that?
Yeah, it's not hard. It's really not hard to imagine how that conclusion came to be, but it's so true. The data was so clear. If people aren't being encouraged to read the Bible, number one, and then number two, see the Bible, see Bible reading modeled on the platform or on the stage on a Sunday morning, Bible reading drops in that local church. Are they being encouraged to read, and are they seeing it modeled in what they experience on a Sunday morning? And you don't need a smoke machine and a Starbucks in your lobby to do that. It takes a little bit of intentionality and a little bit of a purpose and effort, but it's getting back to the basics of helping people and sharing with them, hey, the Bible matters. It will change us. It is God's word. You need to go read it.
Wow. All right. So, Sarah, maybe you can comment on this. How do we take that information and make it work for us? Because, I mean, obviously, right now, I hope if you're a pastor and you're listening, you'd be encouraging people in your congregation to read the Bible. I got to assume that's probably true in households as well, that if parents are not only encouraging their own kids to read the Bible, but modeling the discipline of reading the Bible, that's going to make a difference. But, Sarah, this isn't rocket science. When I had hair as a kid, I was blonde, but I think I even understand this. I think I can comprehend what he's saying. It's too simple, Sarah.
Well, you know, we get tired of telling people the same thing over and over again. But the reality is the encouragement can be done in many different ways. And if we're saying the same thing and becoming a broken record, then maybe that discourages us to keep saying the same thing. So we're going to have to create some different ways of speaking to people and understand how the message of let's read the Bible is, we're able to say that in many, many different ways. And so this concept of, hey, let's talk about this great storyline, that's important. And then we talk about, oh, this individual character, well, that's important. And so even dropping hints of, hey, when's the last time that you got into reading about King David? Or, hey, have you opened up the book of Revelation? That might be scary for you, but let's do that together. So there's a lot of different ways. And as there are every different type of person on the planet, there's every different way of communicating what that is. And so we want to be mindful of the fact that sometimes people need to just laugh about something. We want to have fun with each other. We want to engage in a new way. So we can't be weary of doing good and of planting those seeds. And so, you know, the encouragement has to take many different forms. And so if we're just only saying, brush your teeth, brush your teeth, brush your teeth, you know, like it feels very boring. But when people, you know, are actually engaging with the word, mm-hmm. and then maybe sharing what that has happened, what they learned or what the word said to them, it's so encouraging. And so that still is encouragement. And so we just want to engage every different method that we can to help people just actually take that step together.
All right. So if we can elaborate on some of that when we come back, we're going to. And then also, Michael, if there are additional facts you want to bring out that are helpful, yep. to understand, that's great. The point is that Walk Through the Bible has done some of the legwork for us to help us better engage with Scripture. And maybe you guys can talk specifically about how that can happen, because I know there's live events and stuff, but there's other tools that you have, and maybe we can help highlight some of those. But, you know, for those of you that are listening, maybe you felt very discouraged about the trend that we see in culture, but also in the church. I mean, the stat that Michael shared earlier was not a stat based on people who don't attend church. These are supposed Christians that would normally be in the Word. But if only a third are reading the Bible on average once a week, that's a shockingly small number. And let's not let this be about legalism. We're not really talking about quantity per se. We're talking about content, right? Life, that people are engaged at a point where the Word of God is changing their life. What's that look like to get people to that point? And we'll have an opportunity to continue the conversation with Michael Gunnan in just a moment. He's the executive vice president of Walk Through the Bible. And Sarah Burton is director of Walk Through the Bible Canada. They're our guests here on today's edition of NBL. We're going to take a break and continue the conversation in just a moment. But listen, what holds true for people in North America holds true for people all over the world. And Galcom International is helping to put the Word of God into the hands of people all over the globe, including unreached people groups who get a chance to hear the Word of God in their own language by way of solar-powered audio Bibles and solar-powered fixed-tuned radios. Fixed-tuned, of course, the Christian radio stations that are talking about the gospel. But we encourage you to get to know the ministry of and support the ministry of Galcom International so that people can hear the Word of God in their own language. And by the way, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, it says in Romans 10:17. Michael Gunnan, Executive Vice President of Walk Through the Bible. Sarah Burton is the Director of Walk Through the Bible Canada, and I'm privileged to have each of them with us here on NBL. Sarah, by the way, is also an author. She's going to be joining us in a few weeks. We'll be talking about one of the books she wrote, which I'm currently reading, devouring, I should say. I hope it's not crimping my time in the Word of God, but I am reading it, just so you know. And so we'll look forward to that, Sarah. Michael, first time I think we've had a chance to have you on the air, but very privileged that you would join us and spend so much time with us. So again, the whole concept here is helping churches to get people in their churches to engage with God's word, right? I hope I said that right. But where do we want to go from here? Because in our final segment, we want to use our time wisely to help people understand how achievable all of this can be, especially with the help of Walk Through the Bible.
Yeah, let me share one more little part of our study, and then I'll maybe turn it over to Sarah, and then she can talk about some specifics. So the other, we had interviewed people to ask them about their Bible reading behaviors and practices, and then about their church, and tried to understand what can the church do to help people and engage in Scripture. And we said that if a church encourages someone to read the Bible, if a church models it, then the likelihood of Bible reading goes up significantly. The other big finding from our study was that participation in a church-based small group Bible study was really the most predictive indicator of high levels of Bible engagement. If a person attended a church-based Bible study group three or more times per week, the likelihood of them highly engaging in the Scripture on their own rose significantly. I mean, it was an unbelievable change. And so if I were a pastor, if I were a church leader, if I was interested in how do I help people engage in Scripture, getting them together in community and encouraging them to read and study the Bible is where I would be putting all of my energy and all of my efforts. And that's what Walk Through the Bible does. We want to come alongside with events and resources that can really help churches and individuals do that. I'll let Sarah maybe talk a little bit about what she's doing in Canada to help people connect in small group Bible studies.
Yeah, and Sarah, please do that. But let me also ask this question, because I think, Michael, you said three or more times in community. That seems hard, especially if community means personal conversation. Because, for instance, on a Sunday morning, you're sitting listening to the pastor speak. It's not like you're necessarily going to turn to the person in the pew next to you and say, what do you make of that, you know, during a service? So that's, and then secondarily, Sarah, you said you teach a Bible study at your home, but I don't think you meet three times a week. So is that a?
I'm sorry. I said three. If I said three times per week, I meant three times per month. Sorry if I misspoke there. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was like,
sorry
wow.
about that.
You know,
I scared you and all of your listeners. Sorry. Three times
terrified.
Per month.
Absolutely terrified. Yeah. No, I mean, maybe down in Atlanta in the Bible Belt, you guys can do that. But
no, we struggle
here,
with that too.
Up here, we're just hanging on for dear life. We're barely Christians, but, you know, we're doing the best we can. All right. Three times per month. All right.
That's more tolerable, isn't
it? I'm breathing easier. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Sarah, that's totally doable. The idea of getting
totally
together
doable.
With other people. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. And we're just trying to help make things easier for people to feel like they can do that. And so we have our live events that we've been speaking about. And when we do a live event, we're focused on the 40 points of either the Old Testament or the New Testament. And 40 sounds like a lot, but we do it in a way that is visual, that's auditory, that's kinesthetic. So we're going to use our entire bodies. And we're going to have little memory aids that not only make it fun, but in fact, help us to remember how that story flows together. So you can imagine this event is got high energy and we're using everything in the room to help us tell the story of either the Old Testament or the New Testament. And what's wonderful is that we also have a resource that will take us week by week through each one of those 40 points. Mm-hmm. So you might find that goes really fast and you're like, wait, I don't get it. Great. I know it's fast. It's fast on purpose because we want to see it like a water skier going across the top of the water pretty fast. But that's not the end of it. We want to take things slower and dive deep one story at a time per mm-hmm. week. And that'll take us 40 weeks in something that we've built together called OT Stories. And so we're trying to create both sides of resources that when a church is ready to, you know, really find ways to encourage people to be in the Word, here are some very easy tools. Let's do an event. Let's get everybody excited and then follow up with a regular study. And yeah, if they make it three times a month, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
It's starting to build a brand new community.
OT, wait, hang on. OT Stories stands for Old Testament, I'm thinking.
Correct. Sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
OT,
just clarifying.
Old Testament.
Go ahead. You were going to say?
It's kind of our short form that we have to really learn to speak out a little bit louder. Old Testament stories and Old Testament live events. And one of the things that I've noticed is that, you know, when I speak to churches about it, I have a church that's following this program. And whether they have or they're talking about their Sunday school where they are using this week by week study or the summary, there's other resources that we have. The congregation just feels more alive because together they're learning God's word and they're remembering and they're challenging each other to be in God's word in a new way. Because these hand signs that we do to help tweak the memory are also fun to go back to your friend to say, hey, do you remember this? It's fun with friends, but imagine the impact that has also on families. When the family attends the live event, we have something to review at home with the kids, no matter what age the kids are. And the kids often will take the lead on the remembering part. And so if the adult can encourage and the kid can learn, we win together. And it's so fun to watch families engage with one another on those points.
Okay. Simple question. A walk through the Bible event is a big deal. I can guarantee this because the content that's being shared, but how big of a deal is it in terms of actually putting a live event on? Is this something that you guys come to a local church? How much, you know, what labor and land labor and capital are involved in something like that?
Well, land labor and capital is good points because we want to make sure that the event is well attended. So well attended is what does that look like for the individual church? So it's going to take volunteers to talk about it, to share the word, to give the messaging. And we know that when we're changing some kind of behavior, the person can't just hear the message once. They've got to hear it multiple times. So that's where the volunteer corps can really be a big difference. Where they're posting online, where they're announcing at church, when we have the pastor's engagement and the pastor's support, where we have any kind of friendship lines really making it a big deal. To me, that's the most important thing. And if we're all kind of pushing together, it can really set an event up for success. The thing that we want is enough people in the room to have that energy to really be the encouragement. That looks like about 50 people. So if we can't get 50 people in the room, it's going to be a bit tricky to put on a live event. But if people are creative and encouraging, it can definitely be a really beautiful catalyst that will take things forward for any one church.
On a side note, I want you guys to know that one time I was involved in a series of one-act plays. I actually had an acting career. It lasted for about a month. That was the end. But
it's a short career there, Neil.
Yeah, very short. Yeah, it didn't go so well. But anyway, the dress rehearsal was in a holding center, kind of a jail situation, and about 200 people showed up in a room that held 150, and the energy was through the roof. So every joke we told was incredible. Then the dress rehearsal the following night was in a room that held about 1,200, and 200 people showed up. So same attendance, and it was dead to the world. So as you think through it for your own church, you're going to want to be in the right size room. If you're doing an event of 50 people, make sure that the room holds about 48. That's perfect. You want to cram them in there a little bit. I'll leave it to you guys to make those kind of determinations. But I'm just saying, you don't want to have an event for 50 people in your main sanctuary that holds 600. It's going to be an entirely different vibe. So, because I was watching some of the videos of what you guys do, and you can see the high energy and people feeding off that energy, and it makes it fun. It just makes it fun. So let me throw it back to each of you here for some final comments. We don't have a lot of time, but we got a few minutes here. And I want to give you an opportunity to sort of fill in any blanks. I know live events is one way to connect. And what's the other? We talked about engagement earlier. I'm sorry, encouragement. Is it simply encouragement and live events are the two things we're focused on right now?
Yeah, we've got a lot of resources available. Whether that's small group resources, whether that's devotional Bibles, whether that's other video resources available on our website or on our mobile app. So if you go to walkthrough.org, you'll see ways to connect with, for churches to connect if you're interested in hosting an event in the US, and then to the Canadian site, Canada site for Sarah. But we've got a ton of other resources available for individuals, for churches, for small groups to use. And so again, we want to just put tools in people's hands to help them engage in scripture. Hey, can I make one more comment about
please,
our live events? About 70% of people that come to our live events tell us that they are making a 40-day commitment to read the Bible every day. So think about that. If we're talking about how does a church help with Bible engagement, how do we inspire and encourage people to get in God's Word? When we go to a live event, we have people fill out an evaluation form, and we say, did you make a commitment today? And one of the commitments is, I made a commitment to read the Bible every day for the next 40 days. 70% make that commitment. That's
wow.
huge.
Yeah,
That's
is.
Starting a movement of Bible reading and Bible engagement in that local church. And we love to partner with you and your local church to bring that to wherever you are.
Well, usually we talk about unhealthy habits, but if you're going to have a healthy habit, starting with 40 of anything in a row is probably a really good idea. And
That's
what
right.
better than the Word of God?
Yep, absolutely.
So, Sarah, we haven't obviously covered every base here, but I want to leave it wide open for anything else you feel needs to be said.
Absolutely. And, you know, in Canada, we've got some different tools going on. And one of our, inventions is a different type of app that helps us to review each one of those 40 hand signs in a different way. So you want to join us with that. But more than that, when we think about encouraging one another to join small groups, we kind of think, oh, well, we might need facilitators to do that. And maybe we have a willing person, but someone that doesn't have the skill. And so at Walk Through Canada, we've developed a monthly program that's helping people take these OT stories, Old Testament stories, one by one, and teach how can we present that in a way so that it's engaging and so that they can feel comfortable in following the program. And yes, they've got a lesson plan to work from, but we do more of an engagement. We have a monthly call, and we do online trainings that really help and give an opportunity for people to ask questions. How should I teach this? I teach kids. Is there a craft that could go with that? I teach adults. What types of questions can we engage with? And so it's my goal to really build that monthly program so that it is a resource for the churches to be a part of, so that it's not just a push and then a forgotten push, that we just take the Word of God and give people the tools. And what I found is that when people engage with this online monthly program, they're saying things like, I'm looking forward to the next week, what I'm going to learn. And they're the facilitator, but they know that that's going to help them be in the Word a little bit more. They feel that there's less anxiety in their life because they're in the Word. And there's lots of positive things that we haven't had a chance to speak about what it does to the congregation, what it does to participants to talk about being in the Word. But there is only positive things. And so when we offer resources and conversation and an open space to ask these questions, we can really encourage one another to stay on track and to really reach more people in everything that we are talking about with the Word of God.
I love it. One last question is just floating in my brain, so I'll ask it. It's kind of random, but you were talking about understanding the big picture of Scripture, and obviously redemption is a part of that big picture. Jesus came to save us, but there's a backstory, and the Old Testament is loaded with stuff that points to redemption and Jesus. So just as a for instance, the story of Moses, you know, people are being bitten by snakes and they're dying, and the instruction is raise a serpent up on a pole and hold it up, and if people look to that, they'll be healed, which, by the way, is where the pharmacy symbol comes from, the medical symbol, snake on a pole kind of thing. But the only reason I'm bringing that up is because then it's referred to in the New Testament, you know, that just as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then, you know, we have to look to Jesus for salvation. Salvation is found in no other place. So the obedience that was necessary in the Old Testament to look to that, you know, pole lifted up there in the wilderness, and to look to Jesus in the New Testament is connected. That story is very connected. That's one where it's really easy to see. Well, I'm not sure if that's part of your curriculum or not. I'm just saying the 40 Old Testament stories, do they provide an understanding that would benefit somebody then reading the New Testament to go, oh, okay. So, you know, I don't know who wants to comment on that, but last thing here before we let you go.
That's my favorite topic, absolutely. And so when we connect what happens at Passover and the fact that Passover and the Lord's Supper are really the same event, and what does that mean? When they had to cover their doorway with the lamb's blood, but Jesus is the Lamb of God. And we learned that the sacrifice that Jesus made connects to this pattern that was established in the Old Testament. It's mind-blowing, and it changes things. And we have to understand that our hearts need to be covered by Jesus's sacrifice. And so when we step into that, that's where new life comes.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing. So
Amen.
I don't get me started because you'll be here for a while.
Well, good. You know what? You guys can come back. We'll do this again at some point. Just so grateful to have you here. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have to discuss how to more effectively read and engage with your word. And the statistics are not great, Lord. It's almost embarrassing to think about the hard time that many of us in the body of Christ are having to really understand your word. But it is somewhat overwhelming. It's a huge book written over a long period of time by many different authors, and yet it's the inspired word of God. And it, Lord, you said in your word that these are words of life, that if we really want to understand who you are, God, you've provided all this info and what it is you desire for us to do and how we should live. And all of the things we need for life and godliness are contained in those pages. So God, we need to be in your word. And I pray that today's conversation will inspire those who are listening to connect with Walk Through the Bible, to find out how to get this curriculum in their church, maybe have a live event there, but to really begin to look towards engaging with Scripture, not just reading it, to have an experience in your word and to grow in community together, studying and engaging with your word. So may that fruit come as a result of our conversation today. Bless Michael and his work at Walk Through the Bible in Atlanta, Georgia, and Sarah Burton, with her work in Canada, the Brampton area in specific, in the Toronto area. God bless Walk Through the Bible. We thank you for the friendship we share with this organization. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so walkthrough.org is where you, and that's THRU, walkthrough.org is where you can go to connect with Walk Through the Bible in the U.S. And once again, Sarah, help us out here. Canada's website is?
Canada's Walk Through, THRU, thebible.ca.
Canada's Walk Through thebible.ca. All right, God bless. Hey, it's been great having you guys with us. Thank you both for being here. You're welcome back anytime.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Neil.